After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What would you like to get off your chest? Are you holding on to secrets, fears, or frustrations? We all carry around different stressors, both big and small. Don't keep it all bottled up inside. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and work through whatever is weighing you down. It's also a great way to learn to resolve conflict, change negative thought patterns, and more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BeHereNow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BeHereNow.
War crimes are being committed every day. It's horrific. And yet, we owe it to not only ourselves, but everyone we meet to try to keep our hearts open and available to all beings at all times.
Welcome to the Krishnadas Pilgrim Heart Hour. In this podcast, Krishnadas shares his warm-hearted and down-to-earth path to the divine. If you are interested in supporting Krishnadas's podcast, please go to BeHereNowNetwork.com/KD.
Om Shri Pranama. Jambigari Jeshamagari Om Shri Matre Nama Om Shri Matre Jambi Gauri Jeshama Gauri Om Shri Matre Nama Om Shri Matre Jambigari Jeshama Gauri Om Shri Matre Nama Jagadambe Jindya Jagadambe Ema Durga Ema Durga Jagadambe Jee Jagadambe Ema Durga Ema Durga Jagadambe Ema Durga Ema Durga Jagadambe Ema Durga Ema Durga Jagadambe. Tenye Jagadambe. Ema Durga.
During war times, is there a specific mantra? I know we pray for peace always, but if there is one that is for unity or something. Well, in different traditions, there are different kinds of practices. In Tibetan Buddhism, there's many practices to remove negativity and obstacles, and to overcome adversity and negative forces, powers, and negativity, which is all comes from our minds, our emotions and minds. So I don't know any particular mantras for like that, but Hanuman mantra, Hanumanji is the destroyer of calamities, remover of obstacles, bestower of grace. So praying to Hanuman to restore the natural, the balance, the dharmic balance, the harmony in the world is a great thing. And of course, Ram, Krishna, all the great beings, we pray to them, may they be victorious over our own negativity. I thought Shyama was a name of Krishna. Shyam is Krishna. Shyama means the dark colored female. Shyama makes it a female name. So it's one of the names of the dark colored, the dark goddess, Kali, Shyama. Gauri, Shyama Gauri, and Shyama, the long A at the end, Shyama, makes it the feminine, and it refers to Kali, the dark goddess, the dark colored goddess. Krishna's visualized as a dark, bluish gray, deep, dark rain cloud. That's his color, considered to be his color, they say. I haven't seen, so I don't know. That's it? Just a few questions? Neen, that's it? Yeah? That's all we have now. Okay. What is KD reading these days? KD's reading a book called, there's two new translations of the Tulsidas Ramayana, the Ramcharitamanas. One is a Penguin multi-volume book, and the other one is by Philip Luckendorf, who wrote a great book on Hanuman called Hanuman's Tale, T-A-L-E. And it's a really great book, a lot of stories about Hanuman. And he's been working on this translation of Ramcharitmanas, the Tulsidas Ramayana, which is the version of the Ramayana that we in North India read mostly. So that's, there's two new translations. So I'm checking those out. I'm also reading a book by an incredible, wonderful Lama called Tulku Tundup, called Peaceful Death, Joyous Rebirth. The Tibetans, they have investigated what goes on after we leave the body. They seem to have a big, a good idea of what happens in that period between births. And so since I'm getting closer to that every minute, I've been getting more interested in that transition and how I could approach that in a more open way. Please do a chant and say some words of hope to the devastated people affected by the natural disaster flooding in Australia, in northern New South Wales. Where in this world isn't there horror at this point? Where? Everywhere. Everywhere. There's so much going on. It's extraordinary. Climate change is changing the way things grow, the way where we can go, what we can do. The glaciers in the Arctic are melting so fast. They say that the coastlines of the continents are going to be changing within some years. It's just unbelievable what's going on now. I don't know. Of course, I don't mean to be simplistic or insensitive, but every chant we do is for overcoming suffering. Every single one. And we offer all that. See, at the end of every chanting session, what do I say? I say how we owe, if we know anything about a path, we owe it to the great beings who have gone before us. Right? And then I say, in the same way that they wish for us, we wish that all beings be safe and happy and healthy and free of suffering. It's a full-time job. It's not like one little thing you can do to make it all. Everything that we do on the path, we dedicate for everyone as best we can. So of course, you know, I all my best wishes to everybody who's suffering, people in Australia, the people of the Ukraine, who have had to leave their country, their homes and hospitals are getting bombed. War crimes are being committed every day. It's horrific. And yet, we owe it to not only ourselves, but everyone we meet to try to keep our hearts open and available to all beings at all times. So, I said in the documentary, Windfall of Grace, that some devotees worship Maharaji as Shiva. You know, before we get into that, you know, we use these names. We say Shiva, Rama, Krishna, all these. We talk about a lot of things as if we know what we're talking about. I don't know who Shiva is. So when I say that I met devotees who saw Maharaji as Shiva, all I know is the words. I can't see what they saw. They were experiencing Shiva, whoever and whatever that feels like. I don't know that. What I do understand a little bit intellectually, that Shiva sent his energy through the wind god into the baby Hanuman. And so Hanuman is considered to be a manifestation of Shiva's energy, of Shiva. Shiva wanted to help Ram in the war against Ravana, the demons. So he sent his energy, Amsha, his energy, into the baby Hanuman, giving him all the powers of the supreme beings. And so Hanuman served Ram, who is Vishnu, who is the supreme being, and helped him overcome and restored Dharma and harmony to the earth at that time and destroy the demons. So it seems like Shiva, in a sense, is a bump up, if you could even say that, from the level of where Hanuman and Ram incarnated. Shiva, Vishnu, they're another level up. And so maybe those devotees of Maharaji saw him in a very deep way. But who knows? All I know is that there was this one guy named Vishwambar, a poor man from Aligarh, a poor town. And he was rough. He was a rough guy. Rough, not angry rough, but just, he wasn't a polished, sophisticated person. He was very earthy, simple. When he used to come to Kenshi, he would bring all the gear that he needed to worship Maharaji. And he would sing Shiva mantras to Maharaji. And then when he was finishing his puja, he would do an arti. He would sing a Shiva arti, a hymn to Shiva at the end. And tears would be streaming down his face, and he'd be singing, you know, and he would go into samadhi, just singing to Maharaji. Need I say that made an impression? I want that. That's what I said. I want that. So, and then, of course, my dear father, Mr. Tiwari, he was a devotee of Shiva. That was his main, Shiva and the goddess and everything else, Hanuman Maharaji, but Shiva puja was his main thing. And he saw Maharaji as Shiva, and Maharaji encouraged that. He would ask him one day, he told me the story, he said one time they were down by this river in Lucknow, and they're walking by the river, and Maharaji says to Tiwari, okay, sit down and let's sit down. I want you to do your Shiva puja now. Now, his pujas went on for 3 hours, 4 hours, and he had taken a vow that once he sat down to do puja, he could not get up until it was over. So when Maharaji asked him to sit down and do puja, he said, no. And Maharaji said, yeah, I do. Let's sit down. I want you to do your puja. And I said, no, I won't do it now. He said, why? Why won't you? Because the minute I sit down, you'll run away. And you know I'll be stuck there for 3 or 4 hours all by myself. And Maharaji said, no, I won't do it. I'll stay. No, you won't. So he made Maharaji promise. This is like cross your heart, hope to die in India. You pull your earlobes and you promise, you vow to make a promise. So then they sat down and Tiwari began his puja. Of course, he knew the whole thing by heart, hours and hours of mantras. And he starts going and going and going. And it went on for 3.5, 4 hours. The minute he said the last mantra, Maharaji leaps up and said, you miserable guy, you kept me here. I have work to do. And he ran away. The beauty of the interplay of the play of the devotee and the beloved is so extraordinary. That's what we experienced in India, that we saw that. We didn't have that in America. I never saw it in America. But in India, I saw it everywhere. The way people express themselves towards the beloved, towards their guru, towards the deities, towards the great beings. I just wanted more and more of that. Do I have any not so well known KK stories? I don't know. The brain is a terrible thing to have lost. I'm trying to remember KK stories. KK, you know, he grew up in Maharaji's lap from the 8 years old on. His father had been a devotee of Hariyakan Maharaj. That's this being right here. See, oh, over here, right there above my fingers. That is Hariyakan Baba, the original Hari, the real Hariyakan Baba. He was a very great saint, unbelievable yogi. And KK's father had been a devotee of his. He left the body sometime in the 30s, before Maharaja showed up. Many people seem to believe that Maharaja was the reincarnation of Hariyakan Maharaj. So the first time Maharaja came to KK's house, he was greeted by KK's father. And KK's father, and Maharaja said to him, "Take me to the room where Hariyakan Baba used to stay." And apparently Hariyakan, there was a room in the house that when Hariyakan Baba wanted to disappear and be away from people, he would go to KK's father's house, and they gave him a room where he could stay, and they would feed him and take care of him, and he wouldn't meet people. No one would know he was there. And no one knew about this except KK's family. Maybe, yeah. So when Maharaji arrives there the first time, he says to KK's father, he said, "Show me the room where Hariyakan Baba used to go." So KK's father was really shocked. He takes him to the room, and when they were in the room alone, Maharaji looked at his father, KK's father, and said, "You're still doing the mantra?" And KK's father was really shocked, because Hariyakan Baba had given him a mantra and told him, not only don't tell anyone what the mantra is, but don't tell anyone that I've given you a mantra, that I've initiated you in mantra. And he never did. No one knew that. Maharaji knew. So KK grew up in Maharaji's lap as a kid. He was like his grandfather. And KK's nature was very childlike. And his relationship with Maharaji was like a spoiled grandchild with his grandfather. And as far as the physical plane goes, it was because of KK that I was able to meet Maharaji. I had been traveling with Ram Dass for a year and a half or so. And I decided I wanted to go to India and meet Maharaji. But in those days, no one knew Maharaji's name. And no one knew where to find him, because Ram Dass had been instructed not to talk about Maharaji. But of course, all he could do was talk about him. But he never said his name or where his places were. So Ram Dass said to me, "Well, you know, you can go, but I can't tell you how to find him." I said, "That's okay. No, I'll find him anyway." So Ram Dass, I didn't have any idea about India. So Ram Dass said, okay, wait a minute. Why don't you, here, write to KK. Here's his address. Write to my friend KK and then see what happens." So I wrote to KK. And a couple of weeks later, I got a letter back saying Maharaji was no longer in the hills at his temple at Kenchi. Now I have a name. But he was due to return soon, and when he did return, KK said that he would take my letter to Maharaji, and then he would write back to me and see after what Maharaji said. He would ask Maharaji if I could come. So in the meantime, Rameshwar Das wrote, and Danny Goleman, Jagannath Das, wrote. So there were three letters. So KK, so a couple of weeks later, I got a letter back, and I think I've showed it. Here it is. This is the letter I got back. There it is. There it is for you Instagram people. And here's what it says. Sri Maharaji has arrived here at Kenchi, and we hope he will be here for the next 1 or 2 months. Then he says, I was able to show your letter to him and also tell him the feelings of the other members of the satsang. And all this has been brought to his esteemed notice. Then KK writes, I hope Baba Ramdas must have told you about Sri Maharaji, who does not show any kind of enthusiasm or sentiment in calling the devotees to him, and personalities like him would not commit themselves to anything. So it would not be advisable to make the journey, especially and specifically for the purpose only of meeting Maharaji. However, if you happen to be visiting India and come here, you can have his darshan, you can see him, as so many do day in and day out. Baba has an open door for all, without any distinction of rich or poor, believer or non-believer, etc. And it all depends on the sincerity, devotion, and earnestness of an aspirant. So now it is up to you to come and have his darshan or not. It's up to you. That's what he wrote. So all I saw was a green light. If it's up to me, I'm going. And of course, I went with Rameshwar Das and Jagannath, Danny, and we went and we met. The very first day we got there, KK was at Kenchi with Maharaji, and we went and met them both at the same day. Now, that's a very nice story, isn't it? Very reasonable, simple story. I wrote, he wrote back, and we went. Not exactly. Many years later, like 10 years later, after I first went to India and met Maharaji, and KK and I had become very close, KK one day said to me, did I ever tell you what happened that day, really happened that day? I said, no, what? He said that he went to Kenchi to see Maharaji. He came into the room and Maharaji was sitting there on his bed talking to some other people. So KK came in and he pranamed and he sat down and he took our letters, our three letters, and he put them on the bed next to Maharaji. And then he began to peel and cut up into small pieces a soft apple, which is what people used to do because Maharaji had like three teeth. So we used to get these soft apples and cut them up in small pieces and offer them to him. So as he was offering Maharaji these pieces of the apple, Maharaji noticed the letters on the bed and he said, what's that? And KK said, they're letters from students of Ramdas. They want to come have your darshan. Nay, tell them not to come. What do I have to do with this? And he went back to his conversation. So here's the beauty of the leela of the play. You see, when Ramdas first went to India and met Maharaji, he was sent home to KK's house, and KK was asked to serve him and take care of him. So KK's relationship with Maharaji, with Ramdas, was that he wanted to help him. That was his job, his seva, that he was given by Maharaji to help Ramdas. And so by helping us, students of Ramdas, he felt he was helping Ramdas. And now Maharaji was interfering with the very service that he gave KK to do in the first place, and KK would not accept that. Another devotee would have simply written back and said, Maharaja says not to come, goodbye. And I wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be here, this house wouldn't be here, I would have been dead a long time ago. But KK wouldn't take that from Maharaji because he was stubborn and he had this special relationship with Maharaji. So he got very upset that Maharaji was interfering with the very seva that he gave KK to do. So he began to pout. And KK could pout. He was the greatest pouter in the universe. He says he began to pout and he looked down like this and he stopped feeding Maharaji the apple. And he was looking down like he was so upset with Maharaji. And he wouldn't look at Maharaji. He said Maharaji would push his head up, KK's head up, but KK would look away. He would not look at Maharaji. And when Maharaji took his hand down, he would go back down like this. And he said this happened a few times. And finally, Maharaji threw his hands up and he says, okay, tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. Okay, so now, however, if you happen to be visiting India and come here, you can have his darshan, as so many do, day in and day out. Baba has an open door, etc. He didn't lie. He said, Maharaji does not incur, he shows no kind of enthusiasm or sentiment in calling the devotees to him. He told the truth, but he also told more truth, which is, if you happen to be here, you can see him. And that's how we got there. And that's how we're here now, right now. It's incredible. I would have been dead 40 years ago, guaranteed. I was just not programmed to be able to stay alive. I didn't have it. I didn't have the wiring. I was too depressed, too unhappy, too neurotic, too fucked up. I wasn't going to make it. But this is the way it worked out so far. So that's a story about KK. KK loved Ram Dass so much. They were really brothers from another life. They were very close. And when Ram Dass left the body, KK didn't want to be on the earth without him. And he died within a couple of weeks, I think, of Ram Dass, at the most, a few weeks. He just didn't want to be here. I called KK about a week after Ram Dass left. And we just were on the phone silent for like 20 minutes. We couldn't talk, neither one of us. So he just left. How did it feel being around Maharaji in person? I see the eyes of the devotees looking at him in photos, and it's incredible. Yes, it is still incredible. If you imagine in your deepest imagination of what love, what you want to feel like, what you're looking for, what it's going to feel like, when and if you find the thing you're looking for more than anything, that's what it was like being with him. And yet each one of us had their own, it had a different flavor for each one of us. Some saw him as a great master, some saw him as a friend, some saw him as father or mother, some saw him as master and servant. Each one of us had our own relationship with him, and he He was that for each one of us, a different, he showed each one of us something different, what we needed to see. It is extraordinary because it hasn't stopped. It still goes on. That feeling is no longer available in a body out there, but the feeling is still, it was never out there. The feeling was always in here. It takes a little recalibrating to not be looking for it outside, but to look for it inside, which is where it truly is. So, how you would feel when all your dreams come true, that's how it felt. And that's how it still feels in his presence, just like that. How can one escape from the habit loop? Well, it ain't easy because habits, we spend a lot of time nourishing our bad, destructive, negative habits. So they're not going to change like that. But if we do a little regular practice every day, and during that short time of practice, we truly give ourselves to those moments and not just get carried away in dreamland. 5 minutes, we're going to do 5 minutes of japa, 5 minutes of watching the breath, and we really do it. We will gradually open up a deeper center of gravity in ourselves. So when that habit kicks in, sooner or later, we will get more of a vote as to how we deal with the urge to satisfy negative habitual programs. It takes time, it takes dedication, it takes sincerity, and it takes really wanting to be free. The problem is we like those habits. We get off on that stuff. It feeds us in a certain kind of way. And there's a part of us that really needs that. It's not a mistake. There's a part of us that gets something from our habitual behaviors that we need to get through the day. In some ways, it's like, you know how you're driving and you push the clutch in. It's one of the ways of like disconnecting from whatever's going on. And just kind of checking out of the world for a while. So it's not easy to change that, but you certainly can. And there are many different techniques for doing that. And you can find all kinds of counseling, therapies, NA, AA, meditation, mindfulness, japa. There's so many things you can do. Hatha yoga, pranayama, everything you can do to loosen up that immediate response to the urge arises. Maharaji said, you want it? Don't take it. That's too difficult. I couldn't do that. I had to take it. I took it for years and years and years. Whatever it was, all kinds of different stupid negative habits. But ultimately, you can get to a place where the habit no longer runs your life. You may never get free of the of the lust for that habitual thing, but you can get free of the compulsion to act on it. Most definitely you can, but it ain't easy. And one has to really get in touch with how much those habits are hurting you, how much those habits cripple us, how much those habits keep us closed down and how much those habits shut our hearts down and prevent us from feeling better about ourselves and finding real love in the world. The more you get in touch with the suffering that comes from those habits, the more aware you will be of how that habit controls you, and the more you'll be able to let go of it. Day by day, every day is new, every minute is new. Okay, so somebody's saying, you just mentioned keeping one's heart open in face of so much calamity in the world. Can you please elaborate on how best to deal with heavy-heartedness and grief, despite anchoring into the heart and maintaining one's practice? That's it. You have to maintain your practice. But for quite a while, the practice is not really freeing you from the suffering. It's a practice. It means you have to practice. And eventually you learn how to play the guitar or the piano. Little by little, you practice every day. You get good at it. These practices free us from all negative emotions, ultimately. They free us from the very things within us that cause us suffering. Whether it's the way we react to the outside world or to the inside world. So there's no shortcuts, but one has to commit to wanting to be a good human being and to care about others and not care so much about how do I feel today? How I feel, who gives a shit how I feel? I don't even care how I feel most of the time anymore. I'm up, I'm down, who cares? I don't care. Why should I think about it? It comes, it goes. But most of our lives is spent, how do we feel now? Is this okay? Should I add a little bit of this? Should I take a little bit of that away? Should I have more of this or less of this? What should I do to feel a special way that I want to feel? You know, that is really the root of all suffering. The fact that we care about ourselves more than anyone else and how we feel. I have to feel okay, or the world is wrong. I have to change it. No, it's not like that. One has to allow all kinds of experiences to come and go without being destroyed by them. And you only get that strength from spiritual practice and from coming into contact with the beings who have conquered suffering, overcome all suffering. Read about those beings, get to know those beings. How did they do it? How did they see the world? Those are the books I read. You want to know what I read? That's what I read. I read the biographies of saints, of yogis, of great beings, because that's what interests me. How do I get to that place? Okay. So you keep singing. You keep singing. You keep chanting. Like Maharaji said, at first you may not have any feelings of devotion or love or peace or joy. But you have to keep chanting. You have to keep doing your practice. Because if you don't plant the seeds, nothing will grow. The practice is planting the seeds. When they grow, how they grow is not up to us. It's up to us to plant the seeds. Little by little, those seeds will start to grow. And then the heart will be cleaned of all the dark coverings, and then we'll begin to feel lighter and more in tune and more open and more available and more kind and more compassionate, more caring, and not so obsessed with me, me, me all the time. And then Maharaji says, and then you'll call out one day from the heart, and the real realm will come. The reality will dawn on us, and then we'll be free. But it's a process. And we have to understand that it's a process. It's not instant gratification. There's no button. The buttons we push don't work forever. They bring temporary experiences, and they help us avoid suffering, but that only makes it worse. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. So you keep doing your practice, and you try to treat people as well as you can, and you try not to think about yourself all the time. It's not easy, but nothing's easy. But there's no downside to practice. There's no downside to the Dharma, to the real teachings. They're available to everyone. And if we're pulled to investigate what these teachings are about, that's already the result of our own karmas, having been involved with this before.
Sri Guru Charana Saroja Raja Nijamana Mukuru Sudha Varano Raghubara Vimala Jasu Chodayaku Palachari Buddhihin Tanu Chanike Sumiran Pavan Kuma Siaran Balabuddhi Vidya Deu Mohin Padu Kale Subhika Siavara Chandra Padaje Sharana Jaya Hanuman Gyana Guna Saga Jaya Pisati Hum Loka Puja Duta Atulta Baladana Anjani Putra Pavana Sutana Mahavir Vikrama Bajarangi Kumati Nivara Sumati Kesangi Kanchana Varana Viraja Subesa Kanana Kundala Kunda Chitta Kesa Atta Bajra Rutva Chabirange Kande Munja Janeu Saj Shankara Suvana Kesari Nandan Teja Pratapa Mahajagaban Vidyavan Guni Ati Chatur Ramakaja Karimbe Oatu Prabhu Charitra Sunibe Korasya Ramalakhan Sita Dares ya hinde kala ekata rup dhare lanka jara bhima rup dhare asura sanhare ramachandra ke kaja samva life sanyevana Lakhana Jiyaye Sri Raghuvira Harashirulaye Raghupati Kinhi Bohut Baraye Tumamama Priya Paratahi Samabhaye Sahasabadana Tumaro Jasagale Asakahi Shri Pati Kantalaga Sanakadika Brahmadi Munis Narada Sharada Sahita Ahis Yamakuver Digapala Jahante Kabhi ko bid kahe sakke kahante Tuma upakar sugrivahin kinha Rama milaya rajapadadina Tumaro mantra bibhishana mana Lankeshwara Sabha Jagajan Yuga Sahasra Jojana Parabhanu Ilyotahi Madhura Palajan Prabhu Mudrika Meli Mukamahi Jaladilangi Gaya Achara Jana Durgama kaj jagat ke jete sugama anugrah tumare tete Ram duare tumara kavare hotana agya bino peza sab sukla hai Sharana Tumara Chakka Kahu Kodarana Apana Teja Samaro Ape Tinon Loka Hanka Tenkampe Bhutta Pisasha Nikatta Nahi Ave Mahavira Jabanam Sunave Nase Roga Hare Sabapira Japat Nirantara Hanumatabira Sankatate Hanumana Churave Manakrama Bhagavad Chana Yama Jolali Sabha Pararama Tapasvi Raja Tinake Kaja Sakalut Masaja Paramanarat Joko Vilave Soviramita Jivana Palapave Sharon Yuga Paratapatumara He Parasid Jagata Ujjaya Sadhu Santake Tumarakavare Asura Nikandana Ramudulare Ashta Siddhi No Nidhi Kedata Savaradina Janaki Mata Ramarasaya Tumare Pasa Sadaraho Raghupati Kedasa Tumare Bhajana Ramako Pave Janam Janam Ke Dukkha Bisarave Antakala Raghuvara Pura Jai Jahanyan Mahare Bhakta Kahai Ora Devata Chitana Darai Hanumata Se Sarva Sukha Kare Sankata Kate Mete Sabha Pira Kyo Sumere Hanumata Balabira Je 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 Hanuman Gosai Kripa Karo Guru Deva Kinai Jo Satabara Pakta Kala Koi Chuta Hi Bandi Mahasuka Hoi Joya Pare Hanuman Chalisa Hoya Siddhi Saki Garisa Tulasidasa Sada Hari Chera Ki Jenat Hurdaya Mahadev Avanatanaya Sankata Harana Mangala Murati Rupa Siyara Ramalakhana Sita Sahita Hridayabasa Surabhupa Siyavara Ramachandra Padaje Sharana. Viram Jera Jera Ram Jai Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Shri Ram Jai Sitaram Nitaram Jai Jai Sitaram Nitaram Sitaram Jai Jai Sitaram Nitaram Sitaram, 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 Sitaram. Ram Lakshman Jan ki jai bolo Hanuman ki Ram Lakshman Jan ki bolo Hanuman ki Ram Lakshman Jan ki jai bolo Hanuman ki Ram Lakshman Jan ki bolo Hanuman ki Ram Lakshman Jan ki jai bolo Hanuman ki Ram Lakshman Jan ki bolo Hanuman ki Ki Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram 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 Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Ram Lakshman Jan ki Jai Bolo Hanuman ki 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 Ki Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri 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 Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Sita Ram Jai Sita Ram Sita Ram Jai Sitaram, Sitaram Jai, Sitaram, Sitaram Jai, Sitaram, Jai Ram Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Jai Ram Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Jai Ram Jai
So I remember the question you just asked, what mantra we should do to overcome negativity and bring peace to the world. Well, for me, that mantra is Hanuman Chalisa and Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. This lineage from Maharaji is all about Hanuman, it's all about service. It's all about overcoming negativity, adversity, and finding real love, real life. So, if you learn Hanuman Chalisa and sing it, and offer that practice to the world, there's nothing better we could do. So, that would be an answer to that question. If we know anything about a path at all, it's only because of the great beings that have gone before us. Out of their love, out of their kindness, they left some footprints for us to follow. So, in the same way that they wish for us, in the same way that they wish for us, we wish that all beings everywhere, all of us, be safe, all of us be happy, that all of us have good health and enough to eat. And may we all live in peace and at ease of heart with whatever comes to us in life.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What would you like to get off your chest? Are you holding on to secrets, fears, or frustrations? We all carry around different stressors, both big and small. Don't keep it all bottled up inside. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and work through whatever is weighing you down. It's also a great way to learn to resolve conflict, change negative thought patterns, and more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/beherenow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/beherenow.